WWE, the custody of a child will be determined in a match.
Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, Hollywood blonde, but my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni.
Get away, Satan, fool.
Put that cigarette out.
Will you stop?
What's up, Drunk Marks? Welcome to this week's episode of Drunk Wrestling History. I'm your designated host, Adam. With us, as always, is the not barely legal, they are legally allowed to drink, drunk wrestling historians themselves.
This is Eddie, Woozle Wuzzle.
And this is Scott. It's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
All right, so this is going to be a fun episode. We are going to take this back to the year of our Lord, 1997. It is the year that ECW lost its pay-per-view virginity, unlike another more common loss of virginities on pay-per-view. And this is their pay-per-view debut of Barely Legal. As a first-time watcher to prep for this episode, I was very, very impressed with this one. So I love the idea that you guys brought up.
Yeah, this is Scott's idea.
I love this pay-per-view.
Yeah, this is a great pay. So I have my notes printed out because I'm very organized.
You're extremely organized.
And professional. Extremely.
I'm a drunkard, yes.
We're classy AF.
The first note I have is this is one of my time machine shows. As in, if I had access to a time machine, I'd be going back to 1997 to sit in the crowd at the Barely Legal pay-per-view.
For sure.
I would love to. And I mean, dude, I could pick three, and this would be in my top three.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. It'd probably be like WrestleMania 1, 17, just because like that's the one blemish in my WrestleMania streak.
Yes.
And this show, I think that'd be my top three things, wrestling things that I would go to.
Well, that makes sense because this is ECW's technically initial pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This was their first big pay-per-view offering.
Mm-hmm.
And as Adam and you have both stated, they didn't disappoint.
Oh, God.
Not they sure all. As hell brought it on this show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, low budget production value, but boy, did they deliver with product.
Oh, yeah. They delivered with what they had.
And part of the charm of ECW was a low budget production.
Absolutely.
You know, like you loved and it for that.
But yes. They also embraced that culture about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we're not the flashy ones that, that are high profile, but they. Or, yeah, just like any athlete professional athlete that out there that's playing to win instead of playing for a paycheck. These were those wrestlers.
Totally. Yep, totally.
Oh, absolutely.
My goodness, it was so yep. good.
So ECW was before your time, right, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you were like, this is, it was over and done with.
So pretty much, I'm 2000 and onwards. So my first exposure to ECW. Even though I had awareness of WCW before, I really engaged with WWF at that time. My first exposure was the Invasion. And then once all of that settled, just with internet and resources to look these up, after everyone was acquired from Survivor Series after the Invasion, then I would look back, okay, what really was ECW? Then I look back, damn, these are really good wrestlers. Hella violent, but still, that there was quality wrestling in comparison to what I've already been exposed to for the last year plus.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. But for all intents and purposes, you had missed it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, by far.
So what about you? Had you seen any, like, actual, like, had you seen any real ECW?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I had seen a few matches on videotapes.
Bits here and there.
Yeah, because my brother and his friends, they had a few ECW tapes that were floating around, but yeah. I never actually got my hands on one to watch a full thing through. I'd catch like a match here or there, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like, I want to see more of this.
Right.
And this was actually the first time I got to sit down and watch an ECW show from start to finish and start to really familiarize myself with all of the guys on the roster.
Okay, so you were the same as me. Like, I was... I'd seen it in the magazines.
Right.
I'd seen a match here and there, but like out here on the West Coast, we didn't get it on TV.
Correct.
It's been on TV for like 4 years or something at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it had a pretty big following on the East Coast, but
and you hear about it all the time.
Right. So yeah. We would just hear about it. And I think it was like 2020 or something, did like a whole segment on it on their TV show, yes. Like a documentary. And they kind of made it look like fucking the devil.
Yeah, but
which made you want to see it even more,
yes,
right?
Because exactly.
Because you see all this shit going on there, and you're like Leslie Stahl is covering it. And you're like, dude, this looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So it was really cool when I got on pay-per-view. I had a friend who he would always come to my house for the WWE pay-per-views, and then when they started this one, he's like, dude, I'm getting that.
Nice.
So it kind of turned into ECW pay-per-views at his house, WWE at my house, and then yeah. I had another friend. You might have gone to school with him. And we would watch UFC pay-per-views at his house.
Okay.
But this was, yeah, this was like so, you couldn't wait for it. As soon as you heard about it, you were so excited.
Yes.
Like, wow, I'm going to finally get to see a full ECW show. And you start seeing what matches are coming up. And you're like, because you kind of had a bit of an awareness of who the guys were. Like,
you knew
who Sandman was.
Right.
And they'd been on Raw.
Yes.
They were, I don't know if you knew this, Adam, but like they kind of, Vince was helping promote it. So he had the ECW guys show up on Raw. Like Sabu came out and dove off the Raw sign and shit like that.
You mean like aside from like that invade or not this the invasion?
This is way before the invasion. Yeah. It's like 4 years before.
Yeah, like when they were still doing it in the Raw in the ballroom.
No. Raw was in arenas at this point.
Oh, okay.
But he was just kind of like helping ECW out. There was for a long time. There were like people thought that Vince was helping pay ECW. Like people thought he was kicking them down money, but it turns out that's not true. He was just sort of helping. I think he was helping promote him because I think he knew that it was good for him to have another company that was on his side.
Yeah.
And that maybe he could borrow talent from at certain points. Or
right.
Maybe, like, if Mike Awesome gets a name, I can hire Mike Awesome away from there.
Right.
Things like that. So he was kind of helping
him
out.
So, like, a slow investment to try to make it a testing ground or a breeding ground for him. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so he helped promote it so he would have the ECW guys come on WWE TV occasionally. Leading up to this pay-per-view. So you kind of, even if you weren't aware of it before from the magazines and everything, you were now from Raw.
Yeah.
So you had some familiarity with some of the characters.
And Vince couldn't afford for Eric Bischoff to come in and take these guys over to WCW.
Right.
That would have been tragic for WWF at this point.
Because it was making a lot of noise over there in Philly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was becoming a big thing. So
it was.
That was a smart Vince move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a Vince failure.
Yeah. 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 So it was, I love this show. So one of the first things I noticed about it was all the ECW regulars are there.
Yes.
Right?
Just like you're watching their TV show.
Right, right. You got Hat Guy,
yep.
Right? You got his friend. You've got Faith No More Guy.
Yep.
Who I don't know. You definitely don't know the story, Adam. I don't know if you do, but do you remember like MySpace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember my MySpace icon dude was that guy?
It was that guy.
It was that guy.
People thought
right?
You were him.
Yeah, and so, yeah, about maybe once every 3 or 4 months, someone would hit me up on MySpace and be like, "Oh my god, are you that dude who's always in the front row to ECW?" And I'd always respond, and I don't know why, like, because sometimes I've been confused with another person online that I'm not going to get into, and I rolled with that shit for like 6 months, and they thought I was that person. I'll tell you, if you don't know the story, I'll tell you after this.
Yeah, you have to tell me after.
Yeah. I don't think I want to get into it on here. But I don't know why I didn't do it with him, but I was always straight up with him. I'm like, no, I'm not him. No, that's Hat Guy. Adam's bringing up pictures on his iPad. Type in Faith No More Guy, ECW. But people would hit me up, and I'd always respond and be like, that's him.
Yep.
And I always say, no, that's not me, but he's my fucking hero.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was there, and then there was also one sign in the audience on a hard camera. Did you notice that?
I think I did see a sign, but I don't remember what it said.
It said, Bischoff takes it up the ass.
Perfect. Paul Heyman planted that sign.
It was the only sign. No, I think Vince put it there.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense, yeah.
It was the only sign there.
Wait, here we go.
And then there's Vlad next to him in that
picture.
You
got him, yeah,
better
yeah.
Better picture.
Right, right. Yeah, that's Faith No More Guy. So the Dudleys came out talking shit. Didn't they interrupt? Joey Styles did like the intro to the show.
Yes.
The Dudleys came out and just fucking got him right out of there, right?
Right. So Joey Styles starts the show off.
Yeah.
And then here come the Dudleys with Sign Guy and Joel Gertner.
Right.
And then that totally, and then the Fuck You Devon Chance start.
Then it goes into a video package.
Then it goes into a video package.
It was really weird. It kind of reminded me of the cold open of Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Like they do a sketch, then they go into a video.
Yes.
It was kind of, it was weird, but it was kind of cool. Like it was different.
Yeah.
You know?
The video
like,
package intro starts.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. So we could just get right into the first match from there.
All right. Yeah. Them versus the Eliminators.
I'll let you get started on this match because I know how you love it so.
I do. It's my favorite tag team match of all time. And for no other reason than this was my introduction to ECW and what it stood for and what it was all about. And I was already a big fan of tornado tag team matches anyway. And this thing was nonstop move after move after high-flying move. And it was insane. And it was tornado tag rules, and I absolutely loved it. There's a lot of nostalgia, I'm sure, that's involved in this being my favorite. There's
for
better
sure,
tag team
sure.
matches. I know that. But the excitement of seeing ECW for the first time on pay-per-view, this match leading it off, the crowd was so into every single move that both teams did, it easily became my favorite tag team match of all time. Cronus and Perry Saturn, I thought, worked great together.
They did.
Cronus really let himself go later in his life. And I think he was in XPW or something like that after ECW. Because he had left ECW. Like, he went to XPW and just really let himself go, dude. Like,
okay,
he looked really bad.
Okay, because I was going to ask you what happened to Cronus. Because Cronus was really damn good. He was a big guy.
Yes.
He could move.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a super athletic guy. A lot of talent.
And then I think he teamed up with New Jack later, if I'm not mistaken. And they became the Eliminator Gangsters or Gangster Eliminator. Something like that. Because New Jack's partner had left and Perry Saturn went to WCW. So I think Cronus maybe stuck around for a while and teamed up with New Jack. And then I think he went off to XPW, something like that. But he really let himself go. But you could kind of see in this match, like it seemed like Perry Saturn was the ring general in this one.
I got that.
He was kind of the one calling the shots. And you saw him yell at Cronus a couple times. Like maybe Cronus was super green. But he stuck his moves. And the Dudleys definitely stuck their moves, and everybody got their shit in, and I think both teams looked like a million bucks.
Totally, they did. There was one spot in particular that I loved where Saturn was outside the ring with both the Dudleys. Cronus dove over the top rope onto him, but and it was like the spot you see on Raw like every damn week that I hate, where it's like six guys like are like stunned.
Yeah, you're waiting for him, obviously.
But this was cool because Saturn was holding them up, like kind of holding them up because the Dudleys wore shirts. He was holding them up by their shirts for that move, and he sort of sacrificed himself for the greater good.
Yeah,
it didn't look fake. It looked kind of crazy. Like, damn, dude, you're gonna let your tag team
like
partner
it was a real tag
too?
Team move. Yeah,
right. But it looked, it didn't look like that stupid ass shit that happens every week now. Yes. I was like, that looks so much better than what you see constantly.
Yeah, and this was 97, folks.
Yeah, right. And like, how does, if you're in a tag team specifically, or if you're just a wrestler in general, go back and watch this match because I think people can learn a lot from this match. And I mean, it was just, they beat the fucking shit out of each other.
Yes, they did.
And the thing that stuck with me the most is they kicked the Dudleys' ass.
Yes, they did.
I mean, the Dudleys were like jobbers.
It was like borderline squash.
Yeah, they beat the fuck out of the Dudleys. Really did. And the Dudleys were like ECW's team. You know what I mean? Like they were the team you associate most with them.
Yep.
They beat the fuck out of them. It was great.
But the Dudleys did get some great moves in.
They did, but very few.
Yeah, not as many as you would think.
Right.
This match was short. It was sweet. All of the moves looked super cool. And I had never seen a tag team match like this before.
Yeah.
And just being blown away in 97 by it, it still sticks today and is one of my go-to matches when I'm sitting down watching wrestling.
Well, and speaking of being blown away, after the match was over, the Eliminators beat the shit out of Joel Gertner, who looked like he could use some blow-away diet.
He could totally use some blow-away diet.
Right? Yeah, he was a wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. What a fucking smart ass Joel Gertner was too, man.
Yeah, I know.
Cracking mom jokes at the audience and shit. Like,
yeah.
Just what a dick.
I know. They'd be like, the man who last night fucked your mother. Like, point right at a guy.
Your mother. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Just an asshole. You just wanted to beat the crap out of him. And they're screaming back at him. I loved it. Just that was such a cool atmosphere. And I can only imagine how great it was being in that audience.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And then right after that, Joey Styles like tossed to a Sandman promo video,
which took forever,
right? And it was just really
the transition to that was a camera botch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was really clunky, production and it was botch, like yeah. yeah, and it was like bad directing, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, was this pre-taped? It sort of seemed pre-taped, but like if it was pre-taped, why was it why so fucked up? Why didn't they edit it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird, but it was one of those things where you're like, okay, if this was a WWE pay-per-view, you would like talk all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Like, fuck Kevin Dunn. Or if it was WCW, you joke around about it. But with ECW, it was sort of like, you kind of liked
maybe
it.
Maybe you know what I mean? Accepted it because that was part of the...
The charm.
Yeah, part of... Yeah, just being... The low budget but quality product, it felt like you could forgive them, which I mean, after noticing that, like, or in technology or biotechnology standpoint or production standpoint, you see like 10 seconds of him holding that pose.
Yeah.
It's like, that is forever.
Mm-hmm.
But the really uncomfortable. But the minute that they go to that video package, you can instantly forgive them.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, it was cool. And then they go do a Chris Candido
it's really
promo.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. In the
Did
ring.
You like Chris Candido?
Not really.
Okay.
Not. I was never a real Candido guy.
Do you think you would have liked Candido if he had not been part of the Bodydonis before?
Maybe.
Because that's what I'm not sure about. Because I
thought he was cool with the triple threat.
Uh huh.
I enjoyed that. But I was never like, Chris Candido's freaking awesome.
Right, I was never really a Chris
Candido.
And
nothing against him. He's just one of those guys that never really resonated with me.
Yeah, yeah. I never really was into him. I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were like, oh my God, Chris Candido's awesome. And I never really got it. And I was
no, I mean,
like,
I thought he was good.
But you thought he was good.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
That's how I was. And watching it, I started thinking, is that because he was in the Bodydonis before? Like, did I just sort of...
We were just jaded on him, like, because that's how we were introduced to Chris Candido.
Yeah, maybe it was that, but I don't know. I never even came to an answer with that, but I was just like, Chris Candido was all right.
But I mean, we saw... Well, you were never really a Shane Douglas guy, though, either.
I was a Dean Douglas guy.
Okay. Okay, so and you liked Dean Douglas.
I liked Dean Douglas, and later on this episode, we'll get into why I was not a Shane Douglas guy.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so let's move on from there.
So Chris Candido was in the ring because he was injured, and he was supposed to be a participant in the next match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it was supposed to be him versus Lance Storm, but yeah, that ended up changed to Rob Van Dam taking his place.
Right, so it was Lance Storm, who I love. You know how big of a Lance Storm fan I am, right?
Mr. Personality, but great with fundamentals.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who I think is as good as anyone who's ever been in the ring.
Yes.
Right? Like, if he were there now, he'd be the best wrestler.
Absolutely.
Right? And I'm
super technical.
No matter what, love him, hate him, you could just say he's going to perform very well.
Yeah, and I love that they brought him in as an agent.
Yeah.
I think it's a great
role
for him.
It sucks a school closed. But the agent makes a lot of sense for him.
Yeah, it's a perfect job for him. And I think he retired. He probably worked 15 years, you know, made decent money, retired, mm-hmm. ran a school for a long time. And then now that he's got one daughter. And I think like she's older now, she's probably out of the house. And now he's like, okay, now I'll go back on the road. But even then, he's only on the road a couple days.
Right.
You know, it's not like a regular wrestler schedule.
Right.
But I was a huge Lance Storm fan. And this is RVD before he was Val Venus, which I was a huge fan of RVD back in the day. Yeah, this is a good match. I like this match a lot.
RVD before he was Val Venus?
Yeah, have you seen what he's doing in TNA now?
Yes.
Yeah, he's Val Venus over
there. Yes, okay.
Yeah, it was a cool match. It was really good. It's when Lance Storm still had the rat tail.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Another show that Apter was at.
Was Apter there?
Apter was that. I saw him during this match. They didn't mention him on this one like they did on Starrcade.
Okay.
But Apter was at ringside. Yeah. Because at one point, RVD grabbed him and kind of threw him out of his way when he was outside the ring. And then he did a moonsault off the barricade that just looked like shit.
Oh, that was after he moved then. Because I know which spot you're talking about. Yeah. So that was after he pushed.
He threw, the guy he threw out of the way was Bill Apter. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. RVD was kind of sloppy. back then.
A little bit.
Yeah, there were a lot of things he did that just looked a little, like he was really good and really innovative.
Like you could tell there was a lot of potential.
You saw his potential, but his execution, maybe not 100%.
Yeah.
I got the sense that he was a very, very well-rounded, being aerial and well-grounded, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe not everything landed as planned.
He just still, he needed some fine tuning still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would do some things that just kind of were goofy. Like at one point, he threw a chair at Lance Storm's face, which, you know, that'll fuck you up. But then he hit him with like the softest form you've ever seen.
Yes.
Which just didn't make any sense.
Yep.
You know, and I think that was just, he'd only been wrestling a couple years.
Well, and Lance Storm returned the favor with some really soft chair shots. And got the fuck boot out of him.
He got the fuck boot out of him. Lance Storm does not like hitting guys with chairs.
No. And you could tell in this one. He was like Charmin soft on RVD with these chair shots.
If only I could get some Charmin right now. Wouldn't that
be nice?
But with coronavirus, there's none left.
Yeah. We can maybe trade our microphones for a roll, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or my ass.
I have toilet paper.
Yeah. But yeah, Storm did not like doing those chair shots. But
no,
this was a cool match. It was really good because Storm was very classic. I shouldn't say classic. He was like a Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels type.
Yeah,
like he was that kind of guy. He didn't do anything totally out there. He was a bit of a high flyer. Like he wasn't a Bret Hart.
Right.
He was a bit of a high flyer, but RVD was way out there.
Like
did all kind. That was why people loved RVD so much, because he just did. It'd be like half the moves he did in a match you'd never seen before.
Right.
You know, he was so creative, so innovative in the ring.
Yep. I love his post-match promo, too. Like, RVD coming out.
Right, right, right.
So, rarely seen. Yeah, just pissed off that he was the replacement.
Yeah, right.
And then he's worth more money here and more money elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, that was great.
That was pretty good.
That was pre Mr. Monday Night, but it was right around the corner.
Right, right.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good shit.
All right. So this next one, it is the six-man tag match between BWO Japan versus, and I didn't even follow names when I watched it, but I just got them on the notes here. Gran Hamada, Masato, Yakusuji. Yakusuji.
Or Power Ranger.
Okay, so that's the one. Okay.
Yes. I mean,
obviously it catches my attention with that. And the great Sasuke. All right, so as of this recording, I actually am wearing a Power Ranger shirt.
You are?
Yes. And yeah, I remember, now that you mention it, Green Ranger shirt. So I'm another thing that really caught my attention here.
I didn't think he was dressed like a Power Ranger. I thought he was dressed like Peter Pan.
That would have also been suitable.
Right?
That's very logical.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
It makes sense.
Yeah. He was dressed like
Peter Pan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was weird gear. Yeah, and then they wrestled Terry Boy, right?
Terry Boy, Dick Togo, and Taka Michinoku.
And they were Taka Michinoku. Were they all? They were all BWO.
They were all BWO.
Yeah, so these were Michinoku Pro guys, right? Which was the thing over there. Well, Joey Styles explained it that it was like a combination of Japanese and lucha style.
Correct. Yep.
Wrestling. Gran Hamada, the first thing I noticed was he looked like he was about 60 years old.
At least.
Which means he probably was 90 because he's Asian.
Right.
Right.
It's hard to tell, yeah.
Yeah. So
they age really, really well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Also, the music when they came out, because it was a lot of the music on the show was not the original music.
Yeah, it was dubbed over.
It's so fucking bad, dude.
It is.
Like,
it is.
This was like John Stone just like shitting out songs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was just like, what do you have left over?
Yeah.
Oh, but God. It's,
you know, you get past it. Like when you start watching the matches, you're like, okay, I could deal with the crappy
music. Yeah, I mean, you don't watch it
dubbed over.
You don't watch it for the music.
Right.
But the entrances do suck on the show. And this was the first match that I actually noticed that.
Yeah. But what a fun match this was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, also, this was a crazy six-man match.
For which one of them, there was a cued part where literally everybody in the crowd threw streamers.
That was the beginning of this match.
Yeah. I mean, what, just to inaugurate this match, or was it for one particular team?
That's a Japanese thing.
Oh, okay.
In Japan, they do that a lot. They throw streamers into the match.
Okay.
Which is great. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot to mention that, and this will come up later.
This will. That's why I wanted to bring that one up. But yeah, I mean, still, just another interesting concept that was just introduced. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew about all the other times that wrestlers called hey, throw me a chair, and then everybody throws their fucking chair. But this was like a more celebratory way to introduce a team. So
Yeah, but it was a cool match, really fast. It was, you know what, it was fast paced, but I expected it to be faster paced. Like, to the point of, like, I couldn't even follow it, but it wasn't that. They didn't cross that line.
No, it was easy to follow.
Yeah, it was easy to follow. Takuma Chinoku was great. Terry Boy had bad hair and a bad name, but he was good. Dick to Go was awesome. It was a really cool match. I love that spot where Terry Boy and Dick to Go have the dude in that hold, and Taka gets on his back and flips the other team off.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that was awesome.
The Power Ranger chants were hilarious.
The Power Ranger chants were good.
The no tagging is weird.
I don't like that. That was the one thing about the match I didn't like.
And it wasn't Tornado. That was the weird thing. It was like you had to stay in the match if you came in to break up a pin.
Well, and there was a spot too where I think Dick to Go was in there working someone over, and one of his partners tried to come in the ring, and the referee stopped him. And I was like, wait, I thought there were no tags. He could just come in whenever he wants. Yeah. Like, you guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah. That was weird.
Terry Boy, my favorite part of the match was Terry Boy gave, Gran Hamada a inverted atomic drop off the top rope.
Oh, dude.
Which I've never seen.
Yeah, that's a first.
I was like, oh my God, dude, he just dropped him right on his dick on his leg. Like, he's like, I mean, Gran Hamada, you can call him Dick No-Go. Like, it was crazy. Like, oh my God, dude. It was just like rude. It was a rude thing to do.
I can only think of one person that wouldn't hurt. Joey Ryan.
I think you're going to say someone else, but I'm not going to say.
John Holmes?
No.
Mr. Marcus?
Yeah, Mr. Marcus is who I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. yeah, it was a cool match. Sasuke pinned Taka with the double underhook suplex.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then WWF ended up scooping both of those guys up.
Right. And Taka was, that was a killer hiring.
Well, it was. And what's funny is when they got Sasuke and they got Taka, I think the plan was for Sasuke to kind of be the star and Taka to be the guy that was initially going to put him over through some great matches.
Right.
Well, that ended up getting the script flipped because the crowd really took to Taka and never really took to Sasuke. So they're kind of like, well, okay, Sasuke can hit the bricks and we're going to bring Taka in to be our guy.
Well, Taka was really charismatic.
He was very charismatic. You know what I mean? Yes.
Like, obviously they both could wrestle.
And he has great facial expressions too.
Yeah, right. That helped a lot. Like, Taka was just, Taka was better.
He was. He really was.
Why didn't they hire Dick to Go?
Didn't he eventually come in?
Oh, did he?
I thought so. When was he part of Kaientai?
Yeah. Oh. I forgot about that.
I thought Dick to Go was...
Okay.
Part of Kaientai.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had there were three of them. It was Funaki, Taka, and Dick to Go.
Dick to Go. Okay, you're right. So after that was a... The one bad part of this pay-per-view for me, and I know this was an ECW thing and this was a Paul Heyman thing in the 90s, was Stevie Richards did a promo.
So bizarre.
It was so bad, and he was just kind of rambling quietly, and it was the camera was right up in his face. It might have been black and white.
It was,
It had music playing. It was just really fucking weird.
Like, it was black and white until he looked up.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it went color. And then like Blue Meanie came in behind him.
Yeah.
Like, and said some stuff, and it was just weird.
I didn't like it.
I mean, you had to feature the three in the precursor to the main event or the right to earn main event.
Oh, sure. And they were sprinkling them throughout.
But that,
it was weird.
It was weird.
It didn't come up. I was just bored, and I kind of found, I think I started looking at Twitter. Like, I was just like, I wasn't even paying attention to what he was saying.
Yeah. I think a video package of Stevie would have been way more effective.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was almost like he was trying to cut a Raven promo, and it just didn't come off that way.
Well, and I think Raven did a promo, like, it was almost identical to this later in the show.
Oh, okay.
And it was very Raven, and I didn't even really like that much with Raven.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't like it with Stevie Richards. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I picked up my phone and started, like, fucking off. Like, I might have been looking at Pornhub. I don't know.
I'm sure you were.
I was mentioning this to you earlier, just the concept of, like sports, every angle taking you to this particular thing that you can't see or that you can only see at home, you can't see at the venue. Like, do we really need to zoom in that much? I'm not really getting a dramatic sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and at the time, I can't say that. We'll look at the other downside. You can, somebody else saw this in HD. You couldn't see it at that time either. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, right.
Couldn't even see it in SD, and it was presented in SD. But yeah, that good thing that you brought that one up. And
you're welcome.
It was kind of a precursor to, like, you know that he wasn't going to win that triple threat.
Well, yeah. Man, I don't know. Like, he was a young guy.
Yeah.
And you weren't sure maybe they were going to give it to the young guy and start going in a certain direction.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And there would have been history with Raven there.
That is a good point, because the three in that triple threat, they average out, but it's because that's the range between Stevie Richards and Terry Funk.
And Terry Funk, yeah.
The average that you get is Sandman.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Ew. Yeah. Yeah, way to be a precursor or to introduce that eventual match. But to back up a little bit, next one was franchise Shane Douglas against Pitbull number 2. Man. ECW TV title.
I was just not a fan of this.
So Shane Douglas did a promo to start the match, and I don't even remember what he was talking about, but again, me noticing everything but what's going on in the ring, someone was smoking. Like, someone right in front of the hard camera, like with their back to the hard camera, was smoking.
Where's Mean Gene when you need him?
Yeah, I know. I was like, what? I was like, then I started thinking, I was like, how come he's the only one smoking?
Yeah.
Right? I was like, is smoking allowed in this building, but only one guy smokes?
Only one guy's doing it?
Or is one guy like, fuck it, I'm smoking, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah, I was just
that sounds like an ECW crowd type thing to
right,
do.
Right, right. Yeah, it sounds
like a Philly. Yeah, I'm just lighting up, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that just, I don't know, it was just one goofy little thing I noticed. And then, so this is the one where it's him against Pitbull 2. Yeah, him against Pitbull 2.
Right.
Pitbull 1's neck is broken.
Broken neck,
was that legit? Do you know?
Well, as far as I knew, yeah.
Okay. Because I think you'd have a hard time finding a doctor to screw those fucking things into your head.
No, as far as I knew, that was legit neck injury.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure about. They start fighting, and I think Pitbull came to the ring. Yeah, Pitbull came to the ring second because Shane Douglas cut the promo. His music played for like a minute into the match. Like, I'm talking, the bell rang, the match started, and the music kept playing.
Yeah, what is this, WCW?
And I don't know if this was like a production failure, or if I was like, what is this, like New Jack?
Yeah,
like,
you think New Jack, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. Like, I was actually almost surprised when it turned off, because I was like, you'd think it would turn off after like 5 seconds if it was a failure.
Right.
But it took like a minute. It was really weird. And then Shane Douglas had that riot police guys with them, like the riot squad.
Yes.
But like not as cool as my riot squad.
Right.
Featuring Ruby Riot. He had all these guys with them, and they're like riot police would wear a motorcycle helmet.
Yes.
It was goofy.
Yeah. Obviously protecting somebody in particular, but.
Yeah. And yeah. And it had some kind of cool shit, I guess. There was one spot where Shane Douglas got like gorilla pressed and crotched onto the top rope.
Yes.
And that was cool because Joey Styles says Francine's weekend suddenly looks less promising or something. That was kind of cool. And then I think Shane Douglas puts Pitbull on a camel clutch with his back to the hard camera.
Ugh.
Which you wouldn't think would happen with the guy who had been in WWE already, right?
He'd be trained for that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of, that sort of surprised me.
Unless he really wanted to give it to the hat guy at ringside.
Yeah, right, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves hat guy.
Yeah, he does. Here,
this is for you, hat guy.
Yeah.
And then Shane Douglas dropped the guardrail on Pitbull from inside the ring to the floor. That was pretty cool. But I felt like the match went on too long.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of going off of memory here because I didn't get a chance to finish the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched it so many times. I just remember watching this and thinking the same thing that you did when you watched it back. It just went on way too long.
Way too long. And there was a spot where I think Shane Douglas gets like a like a FU or a attitude adjustment from the ring out of the ring through a table. That should have been the end of the match.
Right.
And I know that, so Shane Douglas ended up winning the match.
Yes.
So that couldn't finish it, but he could have done that to the Pitbull.
Right.
You know, in the spot. So eventually Pitbull number 1 gets involved and Shane Douglas fucks him up.
Or yeah.
Whatever. Like, that could have happened previous to that. I just thought it just went on and on and on. And then it was big move pin, big move pin, big move pin. And that was actually always one of my things with ECW, that it was the one thing in ECW I didn't like, This was the only match on this show that this happened, but a lot of ECW matches would have that. And then a guy will win with a roll-up or something.
Right.
And I think AEW is a little guilty of the same thing. And I think maybe it became like an indie thing after ECW did it. Mm-hmm. And I think this, I started thinking about it watching the match, and I was like, I think this is why I was never a Shane Douglas fan, was based solely on this match.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, all the shit talking you did about Ric Flair?
I didn't even know about that.
Oh, dude, he hates Ric Flair.
Oh.
Well, unless they've made up in the years since I've known that they've hated each other. Like, Shane Douglas talked mad shit about Ric Flair.
No, that wouldn't bother me. I probably would like that if it was good shit talking. But you could tell it was going on too long, too, because Pitbull was blown up at one point.
Yeah.
Like, he started shooting Shane Douglas into the ropes. He did it, like, I think 4 times in a row, where he's, Irish whip into the ropes and a clothesline. Irish whips and a punch.
Yeah.
And then, like, the fourth one, he didn't even do anything. He just shot him into the ropes.
Shittiest Ryback.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And the crowd was dead, the second, I want to say, the last third of it, the crowd was dead. I swear I saw one dude sleeping. Like, one guy fell asleep, like, his head, because I was like, he was looking down, like, his head was down. I was like, what's he doing? He's texting or something. He's like looking at Twitter because he's bored. I was like, no, this is 1997. He's not looking at his fucking phone.
Right.
I was like, this guy's asleep. So it was just, it got to be bad. This is my least favorite part of the show.
I agree. That was my least favorite match.
After all the crazy shit that happened, Shane Douglas wins with the fucking belly to belly.
That was his finisher.
Yeah, I know, but still, like, tables and everything.
All the resources available.
Yeah.
Not even the strongest available finisher.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That was my biggest issue with the ECW, and this was the only time it came up on this show, but they would do all this crazy, like, hit a dude with a chair like 16 times in the face.
Yeah.
He kicks out at 1.5, but then he pins him with a belly to belly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
got you.
Then the Rick Rude thing happened after, where Rick Rude was one of the fucking motorcycle
security guys.
Dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know what? But at this point, the whole match had lost me.
Yeah.
I didn't even care.
That didn't, yeah. That wasn't the best payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, I saw it coming because I remembered, but I feel like it was kind of obvious even at the time.
That it was Rick Rude?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in 97 I didn't know that. You know what I mean? But
okay.
I feel like it was really obvious.
Okay.
But maybe I'm just remembering it, you know, that way.
Yeah, it wasn't obvious to me when I was watching it. I was like,
okay.
Oh, fuck, Rick Rude's in ECW. This is awesome.
Okay, so I must just have it wrong.
Yeah, okay. Or you just remembered it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, what's next, Adam?
All right. It is Taz with Bill Alfonso taking on Sabu.
I think, did Alfonso do a promo before this match? Someone did. I forget. I just remember, I don't remember. I just remember there was a pretty cool promo before the match. I wrote that down in my notes.
I don't
know, dude.
I don't recall, but maybe it was like, I mean, just during the entire entrance and throughout the match, he was very talkative.
Maybe that's what I'm, I don't know. I wrote that down in my notes.
Was blow his whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of drunk, maybe.
I mean, watching this in prep for the episode is my first introduction to him, and yeah, like, very talkative manager, just there to be a distraction.
I was never a big Bill Alfonso guy.
I thought Alfonso sucked.
No. Yeah,
just noisy.
I didn't care for him.
Yeah, he was noisy and blew the whistle and stood on the ropes and wiggled.
Yeah, couldn't find Sabu tape when he ripped open his bicep.
Yeah, of all things a manager should do, he should be able to save your fucking life.
Right.
When you're bleeding out in the middle of a match.
Fonzie, get me some tape.
Yeah.
We don't have any tape.
Yeah.
Go fucking find some.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
my bicep is ripped open.
Yeah, where's fucking Walmart, dickhead?
Yeah,
right. You know, hop on the train if you have to. I don't care.
Dude.
You know? Why is Sabu from Bombay? Do you know Sabu's from Bombay?
I thought he was from San Diego.
No, he's from Detroit, I think.
Oh, okay.
But so his uncle is the Sheik.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, his uncle would be an Arab from an Arab country.
Right.
Sabu is from Bombay, which is India, which is not an Arab country. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
You'd have to ask Paul Heyman on that one.
Yeah, we do have a listener in India.
I
don't know if I told you this, but we get one download every week from India. So we have this has been for like the last couple months. Like, this guy's like a regular.
Nice.
So, hey, dude. From India, if you follow us on Twitter, DM me or tweet me, explain to me why Sabu is from Bombay. Also, just say hi. Like, I love that we have a listener in India. So
that
just,
is so cool.
Yeah, tweet me, put awesome. You know, and say what's up. I'll put you over on Twitter. or on the show. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of odd. But one of the things I have in my notes is this is ECW. This was an ECW match.
Yeah, well, it's two ECW staples. Two guys that defined the promotion in the mid to late 90s. These are two of your guys.
Right, and you had two guys that really defined like the styles, because Sabu did all the crazy-ass shit.
Yes.
But the other thing that ECW was really known for, especially within like the ECW hardcore people, is wrestling.
Yes.
You know, because they had Benoit, they had Eddie, they had Ray, they had Jericho, guys like that.
Yep.
Lance Storm.
Mysterio.
Shane.
Malenko.
Yeah, a lot of those guys. And that was this was a great combination of that, because Taz was a fucking wrestler.
Yeah, it was really a
he
clash.
He was also
of two.
Versatile, because if he could also switch to, if I need to transition from wrestling to violence, I could do that.
Totally, totally.
And boy, and he did.
And that's what he did early on, because that's when he got Sabu with, I think he had his legs around him, and he started giving him those cross faces.
Yeah.
And he, like, Joey Styles was saying he broke Sabu's nose. I don't know if he broke his nose, but because it looked like he was bleeding from like the bridge of his nose or something.
Right.
Sabu was busted. I couldn't figure out where he was bleeding from, but he fucked Sabu up, and it was with those cross faces.
Yeah.
Like, fucked him up.
Yeah, it was a great clash of two styles, this match.
Yeah. They ended up fighting into the crowd.
Yep.
When they fought in the crowd, Fonzie gets in the ring and he's like standing on the bottom rope and hanging over the top rope, which is just really weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what's he doing? So like, why annoying. Is Fonzie in the ring? Ugh. I think he had his whistle in his mouth.
Yeah.
You know why you don't like Fonzie and why I don't? I just figured out Fonzie spent a lot of time getting himself over. He wasn't like Jimmy Hart or Bobby the Brain,
it was
right?
It was all about the talent.
Yeah, he was kind of about himself. Like, Bobby the Brain would have never gotten in the ring and made a spectacle of himself.
While his guy is out in the crowd. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Fonzie didn't really get that, I think.
Yeah.
So he just, he didn't really serve his purpose, I don't think. But yeah, it was a crazy-ass match. Taz ended up choking Sabu to death.
Yep.
Right? And then the paramedics came out and they went to like take care of Sabu, and Sabu jumped up and freaked out. Did you catch? Oh, you didn't watch it. You caught that. Sabu like jumped up, freaked the fuck out. And I swear I thought that was like legit. Like I was like, Sabu does not want these paramedics touching him.
You like, thought that was part of.
I thought that was real. I thought that was. I don't think Sabu.
With the extreme nature, I could see an adrenaline rush. Like that.
Well, I don't think he was legit choked out. I think he just didn't want to be taken care of by medical people.
Okay.
You know, I think to not look weak, you know, I think they came out to check on him like legit because they thought he was fucked up. And he was like, no, you're not touching me because I don't need that. You know, like that, kind of, like protecting his character.
Okay.
But it was kind of a trippy little thing that happened.
Well, if you thought it was real at any point, they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, and then that's when RVD hems out.
Yes.
And then, yeah, they swerve on Taz.
Yeah, including Alfonso.
Yes.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's now with Sabu and RVD.
Right.
And that team runs roughshod over ECW. Those two guys.
Yeah, and then Sabu did something weird. I think Sabu like tried to put Taz through a table and like fucked himself up.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
As Sabu probably. Did on
yeah, Sabu. Yeah, Sabu was sloppy, dude. Sabu would fuck shit up all the time.
Were you a Sabu guy?
I like Sabu a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was a huge Sabu. Dude, he might have been my favorite ECW guy at the
time. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love Sabu.
Okay.
But he was sloppy, man. Like, he would fuck moves up. He'd, like, sometimes, you know, where he did the thing where he'd run and step off the chair and then hit the ropes. But, like, half the time he'd, like, hit the chair kind of goofy and then start over.
He'd miss again. And the crowd would call out, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
No, well,
I mean, he acknowledged but he was that cool. those happened, but then he would follow through by actually hitting it.
Maybe that's why I was never a big Sabu guy. I was always worried he was going to kill himself.
Or someone else.
Yeah. By screwing something up, like jumping off the chair onto the rope, like botching a move and just strangling himself on the ropes or something. Like, I always worried he was going to hurt himself.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, maybe that was kind of the draw that people loved him so much for it, but...
He was suicidal.
He was the suicidal machine, absolutely.
Yep. All right.
So, next match was the triple threat between Terry Funk, Sandman, and Stevie Richards. Winner would go on to face Raven in a match that would immediately follow. First off, before this match started, pretty much it was established that Tommy Dreamer, he came out to join Joey Styles in commentary, and it was because he gave Terry Funk his spot in this match.
Right.
Right? Okay.
He's
right.
A Terry Funk guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could hear very quintessential New York coming out of Tommy Dreamer, and, I mean, he's from there, and, like, for the sake of the show, it really worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
For... And then also just a general note as something that I guess I wasn't really used to with original ECW. Again, as I said, I wasn't exposed to this until after the invasion. So my exposure to Joey Styles commentary during the 2005-2006 ECW revamp, it was very different than this one. He was very quiet through all the matches with like the remarks or keeping commentary going. He would name the majority of moves that were taking place. And I kind of want to suggest when you are in a safe setting, do a drinking game and just take a shot every time he says Irish whip. So yeah.
Should we do that as an episode?
Are we going to end up dead?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to. I love the show, but I don't want to die for it.
Oh, right, right. That's why I think I'm being led into a very dangerous game here by Adam.
Carissa, you have to help me out for a future episode. I'll give you details.
On it.
Awesome. All right. All right.
I will win.
Oh, dang. She's in this. Oh, shit. Okay.
I have no doubt.
But yeah, so like you said, Tommy Dreamer came out on commentary. Beulah was with him.
Yes.
I believe Beulah never said a word the entire time.
I don't think so.
She had headphones on.
Yep.
They're up in the, I think they called it the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah.
I think is what they called it. And the crowd chanting, "Show your tits at her." Very classy.
Oh, geez.
Very classy.
Of course.
Well, it's Philly. You know what I mean?
Hey.
This is the
pay-per-view debut.
This is the city that booed Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But also, like, just in general, like, leading up to this match, that Joey Styles way of commentary, but then it built up and it picked up for this match, which actually, even though it was different, it felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Joey Styles was the man.
Yeah. He was great. Joey Styles was great, dude. Yeah. That's the guy, like, why didn't ECW hire him instead of fucking Excalibur? You know what I mean?
Like, oh, AEW?
Or AEW, I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Is who's he even working for now?
No, dude, I think he works at like a, he runs a head shop, I think, or something in Modesto. I don't know. I don't know what he's up to, but like that's what he should be doing. He should be working for AEW.
Doing commentary. Absolutely.
But he was fantastic. I mean, yes. He was like, I mean, look, he called the whole show by himself and you never felt like it was kind of.
Yeah, he didn't.
Like he was too minimal or lacking or.
Yeah.
He could do technical. It was he could do the color.
It was a great balance of like. Yes, I'm here to do commentary, but we'll also let the performance and the wrestling speak for itself.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So to get into the match itself, the first thing I wrote down is that Sandman's entrance he used to come to the ring to enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman, yep.
On the network, there is no Enter Sandman. It's
correct.
Generic ass, and it's like a shitty ass generic song. Sandman's entrance sucks without it.
Without that song.
It sucks. It
loses a lot. Yeah.
And it would be fine if it was like a minute and a half long. I mean, the smashing his head with the beer cans is cool. Smoking the cigarette's cool.
Yeah.
But it's like 6 minutes long because that's how long that song is.
Yeah.
It's way, way too long without that song. And I don't know if the crowd was singing along with the song like they did at One Night Stand or they just weren't. Or if on the network they like dubbed it out or what. But you don't even get that part of it. And he's just, Sandman's like the guy where you just think of him as being this legendary guy. Remember we saw him at that,
In 2007 at the Cow
And he
Cow
looked
Power.
Like shit. And you remember he was hammered?
Yes.
Yeah, like, he should be on this podcast. Do you have his number? Let's get him on the phone.
I'll see what I can do.
But he comes to the ring. He looks like a fucking wreck. He's in those Zubaz pants. And the pattern on it looked like a QR code.
Yeah. Before we even knew what that was.
Yeah. Okay. And that was kind of like the biggest thing I had about it. And then about him. And then they bring a ladder into the match. And there's no reason for the ladder because it's not a ladder match.
Right.
And every time they get on this ladder, I'm like, they're going to die because Terry Funk's like 1,000 years old.
Yes.
And every time he falls, it looks like he's going to break his hip.
Yes.
It was just a mess. The match was okay. I didn't love it.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it was okay. A violent triple threat match.
Yeah.
Used the resources available. Yeah.
Yeah. Sandman was fine. Stevie was fine. Yeah. Terry was fine.
There was one part, I forget what it was, but somehow the ladder flew out of the ring into the crowd.
So one of them went off of, I believe Stevie was kind of draped over the rope.
Okay.
And I think it was Terry Funk that was holding him. Okay. And Sandman leaped off of the top rope and went to do almost like that Mercury spot.
Oh, yeah.
Where it busted his face. They went to do something similar to that. It completely missed Stevie and just flipped right into the crowd.
That's right.
And then literally like a second later, the crowd starts chanting ECW.
Yeah. Okay, so right after that, I think it was a double powerbomb that took Stevie Richards out.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Yeah.
So right after the pinfall, I noticed Todd Gordon comes out to the ring. Did you catch that?
I didn't see that.
Todd Gordon comes running out, and he's kind of over to the right side of the ring. And I was like, what's he doing out there? And I was waiting for him to do something that I forgot about. I was like, is he going to get involved? But he didn't. I think he came to check on the fans who got hit with that ladder.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, that couldn't have ended well for somebody.
Right. Someone got fucked up by that ladder, and he looked concerned.
Yeah.
You know? And then he went to, like, the back of the ring, like, the back side of the ring, opposite hard camera.
Yeah.
And he just had a look on his face like, oh, shit. You know, so I think that's what it was.
One of the fans got color, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, and they probably just like gave him like a Sandman t-shirt. The
dude, and he was happy.
A beer.
Yeah,
the dude went home happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was when he was out. Or Stevie was out. Then the best part of the entire pay-per-view comes up where that's where Sandman goes outside of the ring, right? And goes under the ring.
Oh, going back to our previous six-man match.
And Sandman pulls out 85 feet of streamers that are all, like, balled up.
Yeah.
And if you... just watching this, you're like, what the fuck is that? And then it... I mean, it took me a good minute.
Camera has to get in on it.
Yeah, but even still, like... And it was like Adam said, it was standard definition. It wasn't HD like it is now. So, like, the picture wasn't... And even for then, it was, like, actually not even a great picture.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure out Sandman had a big ball of barbed wire under the ring, and when the streamers got thrown in the ring crew just tossed them under the ring to clean up quickly, and they all got wound up in the barbed wire.
In the barbed wire.
So Sandman gets in the ring, and he can't separate the streamers from the barbed wire.
Right.
He can't even unwind the barbed wire because it's a tangled fucking mess now. It's spaghetti. Yes. And he's whipping Terry Funk with streamers.
It looks like he's whipping him with streamers. Yeah.
It's like when Owen Hart was whipping Mick Foley with the bag of popcorn.
Bag of popcorn.
It was like that, but it was streamers.
And Terry Funk's bleeding.
He's
and you're
bleeding.
Like,
he's got like a big cut like above his hip.
Yes.
You know, like on his like little like love handle thing.
Yeah.
Like he's all fucked up from streamers.
From streamers, yeah.
It was the funniest shit I've ever seen, dude. And I just picture Paul Heyman in the back flipping the fuck out.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh my God, this looks
berating
ridiculous.
The ring guys that threw the streamers under there. Like, what the fuck were you doing?
Yeah. I wonder if the ring guys were like, remember when they had the dojo?
Yes.
I wonder if it was like, remember like Leprechaun or Crash Holly was in the dojo? I wonder if like Crash Holly was one of the guys who did that.
Oh, maybe.
Or Robert Thompson. Remember the Brown Bomber?
He went too.
Robert Thompson was there. I wonder if it was any of those guys. Or Vic Grimes ended up there.
True.
Like Vic Grimes might have
fucking been any of them.
Wrapped up streamers. Yeah, in barbed wire. But it was funny as hell, dude. I'm watching that. Actually, I was on the couch watching it. Carissa's in the dining room because coronavirus. Carissa's working from home this week.
Yeah.
And she's like, dude, you were annoying because I'm in there laughing my ass off. Like, I'm laughing like I'm watching like a Chris Rock fucking Netflix special or something. Oh, my God. Dude, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I loved it. That's my favorite part of the entire. That's my favorite thing that's ever happened. I love it.
You did get married, right?
Well, all right. That's my third favorite thing. But Terry ended up winning with like terrible ass moonsault.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, the dude was like 78, so.
Right. I mean,
we excuse him for
that's
that.
That's true. I mean, it's a better moonsault than I could do.
Me too. Ditto.
Yeah. So then they go straight into the match with Raven.
Right into the match with Raven. Like he literally just walks out, poses, and then gets right into the ring. And brings a few people with him.
Right. So Raven's fucking him up.
Yeah.
Terry's been whipped with barbed wire. Look, now you're watching a snuff film.
Right.
Right? It's like watching like Faces.
Man.
It's like Faces of Death.
Right.
Right? Did you ever watch Faces of Death?
No.
Okay. Faces of Death were these VHS videos that you used to put out like in the, I guess, early 90s.
It was in the 80s, actually.
Was it the 80s?
Yes.
Okay, I watched them in the 90s.
Okay.
We used to get them from the video store down the street.
Warehouse, right?
No, not the warehouse. Oh, it was called SN Video.
Oh, okay.
It was clips of people actually dying. A lot of it was fake, though. Like, yes, if you watch it closely, you could see that it was fake.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were real, actually, like death scenes. Like people, like actually, it was like snuff films. That's what I felt like I was watching in this. Like Terry's like bleeding. Okay. You're like, he's going to die out of his head. Like,
right. His brain's just going to fall out. Like,
Right? His face is covered in blood.
Yep.
He's like, Raven's whipping him.
And Tommy Dreamer's getting super fucking emotional on like when they're doing the commentary. That was, it really lent a lot to the match.
It did.
Having Tommy Dreamer on commentary with Joey Styles, because you mentioned, Adam, that Joey had been going solo the whole show. But he really added in getting Terry Funk over to the home audience.
It really picked up. And just the two of them together in that one.
He added a real emotional element to it, and even a physical element when Big Dick Dudley came out to choke slam him off of the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah.
And Tommy Dreamer reversed it and choke slammed Big Dick Dudley.
Big Dick. Yeah. Right. And then that was when Raven like killed the referee.
Yeah.
Right? He just like fucked him up.
Yeah.
And then Dreamer comes down and attacks Raven.
Yes.
Basically. And then it was like, then Terry, I forget what the move was, but it was like, oh shit, that's the end of the match.
Yeah.
And then Terry pins him. But Raven kicked out like at 2.5. And it looked really weird. And then Terry gets up and just rolls him up in a small package and pins him for 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think either... because it was like it wasn't a regular pin. It was like maybe like a roll up or something. And I was like, I think he slipped out of that pin. I think that was supposed to be the three count.
Yeah. So they had to kind of
and the pin kind of came apart.
Right.
Is what happened. But then Terry rolls him or small packages him, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And then Terry covered in blood goes out into the crowd. Yeah, right, he's bleeding. Yes. He's bleeding over Hawkeye. Hawkeye's hat is covered in blood.
Yeah, he loves it.
Right. Terry's like spreading whatever fucking kind of diseases he might possibly have. You know, I'd be, oh my god, dude. Like me being germophobic, like I would fucking run right out of there, dude.
Screaming.
Oh my god, yeah. Dude. Like I wouldn't even want to shake Terry's hand, and now he's bleeding all over me.
You'd be like Bad News Brown running away from Andre.
Yeah, exactly. I would leave through the crowd,
all over him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was quite a scene.
Yeah. And that ended a crazy introduction to ECW. Like,
and I think
what it's all about.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were like us. Like, this was probably the first full show that a lot of people had seen, because it was the first time they'd been on any kind of national TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just showing what can you really bring, not just... like, yeah, on a feature show, not on a regular weekly show. What was the wasn't it just called Hardcore TV?
Yeah, I think that's what it was called. Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't even get that here.
We didn't get it. No, we didn't get ECW until it was on TNN.
TNN, yeah.
Yeah.
But at which point it kind of wasn't actually.
It wasn't that quintessential ECW.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, everything before TNN was ECW, then it got way too commercialized.
Right.
Well, and guys were jumping ship to WCW and WWE, so that made it a little bit worse too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's about it for the show.
Yeah. So again, fantastic choice. I was so entertained with this one. To the rest of you, was it violent enough, or what did you think of this? And would you describe this as like the perfect introduction to ECW, or what would you recommend as your intro to ECW match? And just if by chance you did watch it at the time, what did you think of it? What were your circumstances of being exposed to Bear Legal and ECW in general? Definitely want to hear that. And then, yeah, I think that takes care of it. Oh, yeah. Also, the recommendation, again, in your safe settings, any show, any pay-per-view, take a shot every time Joey Styles says Irish Whip.
Excellent idea.
Yes.
Again, have 911 on speed dial.
I'm reminding you, be safe on that one. Make sure that you have company ready to take care of you. But, on behalf of the extreme drunk historians of wrestling, Scott and Eddie. I am Adam, just reminding you to enjoy Buzz, watch Extreme Wrestling responsibly, drink like nobody's watching. Sorry, drink like the Sandman's watching. And 1, 2, 3, Extreme!